You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is our final message of 2024. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Jonathan Maley with today's message.
Well, what's up, Mid-Current? Good to see you all. I hope that you had a very Merry Christmas. If I've not introduced myself to you yet, my name is Jonathan. I'm the associate pastor here. And speaking of Christmas, this last Christmas for us, my wife and my family, was a little bit different than how it's been in the past. You see, as a pastor, a lot of times when it comes to Christmas, you know, we have all these services and it's a lot of fun, but it's kind of this scramble as we're doing all the services. And then for our family, what we do is after the last service, oftentimes we throw our kids in the car and we make our way down to Iowa as fast as possible. It's kind of crazy, but this year was different. And this year was amazing. After our services this last weekend, which was super fun to have Carly and I and the kids, we went home to nothing. It was like heaven on earth, except for, of course, the disappointing Vikings loss. You see, for the first time ever, we were able to have a family Christmas on Christmas that Monday. And something to know, if you don't know my wife, she's absolutely amazing. And something that I think she cares about as much as anybody else in this world is creating memories and moments for our kids. And so I swear, this last year, she has been planning for this day. She's wanted Christmas to go off and to be special and to be meaningful. And so she's been planning and she's been working. And then we came home and then we're talking to our kids as we're tucking them in at night, Sunday night. Kids, tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow is Christmas. Tomorrow's the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We're going to have cinnamon rolls. We're going to open presents. We're going to blast Christmas movies. We're going to blast Christmas movies or Christmas music, and it is going to be awesome. So good night. We'll see you in the morning. Next thing I wake up, I think Carly woke up like hours before me, just at the break of dawn, just to make sure every detail was dialed. And I wake up to my kids and go, wake up, Dad, it's Christmas. And I go, okay, just give me a second. And I come downstairs and they're all excited. Here's actually a picture of my kids. That's Walker and Junie. Don't let this picture fool you. They were not as chill as what you see in this picture. They were more like Buddy the Elf when it came to him seeing Santa at the mall. They were losing their minds, and it was amazing. And all of a sudden, what began is something I can't even describe. It was like the day went to light speed. It was like the day was a complete blur. I don't remember hardly a single detail about Christmas. And then somebody has like a real representation of how Carly and I were at the end of the day. This was actually, I think, made as a representing us. That was us at the end of the day on Christmas. And then the next thing you know, we're working, the kids are like overtired. They're like sleepless defense lawyers as we're trying to put them to bed. You know, it's like, no, we're not. We're trying to negotiate bedtime. Like, no, it's time. It is time for bed. The day is done. And never did the poetic words of Destiny's Child, a 90s R&B group, relate to me in a way that I felt so moved when they said, I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it, I will survive, keep on surviving. I feel like after that Christmas day, I should have been declared winner of the show Survivor. I really think that. I believe I should submit a submission. And the thing about Christmas is like it's like this amazing deal, and then it's done. Somebody once said, there's nothing as over as Christmas. I think what they mean by that is we spend these months preparing, months singing songs, decorating our homes. In those group text threads trying to figure out when is everybody coming over and where are they going to be, trying to make these special days, how we decorate our homes. And in a 30-minute explosion of gift giving and unwrapping and songs, the next thing you know, it's over. You start cleaning up the kitchen, which is like, at least in our house, it was like, what happened in this place? And then you start organizing some of the gifts and the new toys. And then next thing you know, the next like morning, you bring out like your Christmas decor box and you start putting everything away. By the way, this is just a prop. This is not a real. The real Christmas decor boxes in our home are like this big, but you get what I'm going for. Is out comes the Christmas box. And you start putting things away, and then out comes the fitness box, if you know what I'm saying. All right, 2024, pull out the dumbbells. Let's go. You know, this is going to be a great new year of fitness. But I think with this comes attention. I think sometimes unintentionally, we prepare for Christmas as if it's some kind of grand finale instead of some kind of catalyst into a new way of living. And as we pack things up, I think, you know, in a way of like imagery, it's like we also look at baby Jesus in the manger. If we're not careful, it's as if we pack him away too and say, all right, peace out, Jesus. We'll see you at Easter. My curiosity is, how do you respond to Christmas? How should we respond to Christmas? And here's what I believe is how we respond to Christmas is a direct reflection of what we actually believe, not what we say we believe, but what we actually believe about Christmas. And I'm just curious, have you ever sat and thought about this? Have you really processed, what do you actually believe about Christmas? I think the most important question that we can ever be asked, the most important question that we ever have to really sort through is the question, who is this baby Jesus really? Who is this baby that altered human history? Who is this baby that was born in Bethlehem but then grew up in this then no-name town of Nazareth? Who is this baby where now well over 2 billion people around the world say they have a relationship with him? Who is this child, this baby, that because of him, because of his birth, we measure time differently? Do you know why we're moving into 2024? Because around 2,024 years ago, there was this baby born. Who is this baby Jesus? Is this Jesus really the savior of the world, or is Jesus some historical figure, this moral teacher? Or is Jesus this just fictional character? What do you believe about Jesus, and what is your response to his birth? And why do I think this is the most significant question for us to process, for us to go through? It's because if it's true, Christmas is not a grand finale, but to celebrate at the end of the year, but it's a catalyst for a new way of life. If true, the Christmas story has eternal importance. It's something that's so important, it's worth dedicating your life to. But if not true, if the Christmas story is just something that we've made up, then of course, yeah, it could be a fun tradition. And when it's time to pack things up, let's just pack it away until next year. Have you spent the time to really digest and process and ask the hard questions? What do you believe, or what do I believe about Jesus, and what is my response to his birth? Today, as we're thinking about this, we're going to look at 2 responses from the Christmas story to the birth of Jesus. And I believe that these two responses actually illustrate to us in a very similar way, how I think many of us respond to Jesus's birth today. And I think if you keep with me, I think that we can learn how to make 2024 the most significant and purpose-filled year of our lives to date. So to look at these responses as we're thinking about some of these questions, we're going to go to Matthew 2. Matthew is a written account of the life and ministry of Jesus, and this is on the tail end of the Christmas story. So Matthew 2, if you have your Bibles, or if you want to pull it out on your phone, it will also be on the screen. This is what it says. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of who? King Herod. About that time, wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. See, Herod, King Herod, hears about the birth of the newborn king. And how did he respond? It says that he was deeply disturbed. And when King Herod is deeply disturbed, everyone else is on alert. More to why later. Verse 7, it says, "Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time the star first appeared. And then he told them, 'Go back to Bethlehem and search carefully for this child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can worship him too.'" How many of you think that King Herod was being honest in this moment? Yeah, this is just great political speech right here. And then in verse 9, it says this, "After the interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest," which, how cool of a moment. After what, if you know the story of what Joseph and Mary have gone through, all of a sudden there's these men showing up with treasure chests. Like, well, this is an interesting turn of events. "But they opened their treasure chests, and they gave them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And if you go to the original language that this passage was written in, this is when they bowed, it actually more literally meant that they fell on their faces. Then in verse 12, it says this, "And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod." See, two different types of characters with two very different responses to Christmas, to the birth of Jesus. And we're going to break them down a little bit. The first up, we have the wise men. Everybody say wise men. Yeah, wise men. Who are the wise men? The reality is this, is that there's a lot of scholarly work on who the wise men were. There's a lot of theories and ideas, but there's not a lot that we know for sure. Well, I mean, one of the things that we commonly think is, how many wise men were there? Yeah, we commonly think there's three, but it actually doesn't say three. There could have been even more. We say there's three because they had how many gifts? Three gifts. And then there was a song, "We Three Kings." You know that song? Okay, just me. Okay, sorry for my singing. So the idea is this, though, is that what we know of them is they came from the eastern land, and it's likely that there was a combination of astrologers, scientists, and philosophers. It was very likely that these would have been very predominant people, very successful, very high up people that were made up the group of the wise men, and they were stargazers. And then a friend of mine who's a pastor, he wrote something down of why he knows that they were guys. And I think he has some interesting points. The first is that we know that they were wise men is because they got lost. Even though their camels were equipped with OnStar. And then they also brought very impractical gifts like frankincense and myrrh. He mentioned that if it was wise women, they probably would have stopped for directions. And then they would have made it on time and brought practical gifts like Pampers, wet wipes, a casserole, and coffee for Mary. I thought that was pretty funny and a fair point. He also made a point where he said this: God is always in the business of getting our attention and drawing us to him. God is always giving us these stars, if you will, in our lives, things that will tug at us to pull us towards him. Sometimes it's like this deep longing for something more. Sometimes it's a dissatisfaction that we find in our life. Sometimes it's an event or a moment or a person in your life that keeps sharing about this Jesus. And it's like God is trying to give you a star. God's trying to get something to pull yourself in his direction. And something that we know from scripture, something that we learn from this story, something that I've seen personally in people's lives is that God reveals himself to those who seek him. If you want to find God, if you want a relationship with Jesus, something that is a promise is that if you seek him, you will find him. I'm guessing there are people in this room that you're sensing a tug. You've been sensing a tug towards knowing Jesus. And what happened with the wise men is as they followed the star that God sent them, they followed the star and they ended up finding Jesus. And how did they respond? What it says back in verse 10 is, or actually verse end of verse 9, it says, and when it went ahead of them, the star, and stopped over the place where the child was, and when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And all of these gifts have incredible symbolic and practical importance to what will be the life and the ministry of Jesus. How did they respond? Joy when they finally met the Messiah. Reverence when they bowed down. It was this understanding of who Jesus was and who they were in light of Jesus. They responded with worship and they responded with generosity. It's as if the wise men viewed Jesus as the greatest gift that could ever be known. And my question is, for those of us who have met Jesus, for those of you that have a relationship with Jesus, I'd be curious if you were to examine your life as I examine my life, how similar is my response to Jesus as the wise men? Does my response towards Christmas and the birth of Jesus, does it resemble the wise men's response in any way? All right, next character, King Herod. Everybody say King Herod. That's right, King Herod. King Herod was known as King Herod, Herod the Great, and it's not because he was a great man. It was because he was a great builder. King Herod was not a great man. In fact, he was a great killer. King Herod was very violent, had a problem with jealousy, especially as he got older, the more concerned he was of somebody overtaking his kingship, overtaking his throne and the little dynasty that he had made. In fact, out of his 10 wives, it says the one that he actually loved, he started thinking that she was raising up her son to overthrow his throne. So what did he do? He had her executed. Then, out of extra precaution, he had his mother-in-law executed. And then out of extra precaution, he had all three sons executed, which is why Caesar Augustus said, it is better to be King Herod's pig than King Herod's son. You see, King Herod was wildly threatened by anything that would threaten his kingship or threaten his throne. And how did Herod respond to the news of the newborn king? Says he was deeply disturbed, and everyone in Jerusalem was also disturbed, because if King Herod is disturbed, everyone is on alert. Why was he disturbed? It's because he viewed the birth of Jesus as a threat to his throne. And if you were to read the rest of the story, it ends in a really tragic and an unfathomably sad way. King Herod was so threatened, and then as the wise men didn't go back to him, King Herod made an order that all boys under the age of 2 would be executed. That's how concerned he was over somebody rising up and taking his throne. One of the thoughts that I've had as I've processed this is, could you imagine though? Could you imagine what would have happened if Herod, instead of trying to eliminate Jesus, if Herod took time to investigate Jesus? What if Jesus really is the hope of the world? What if Jesus is the one that brings light, meaning, and purpose to life? What if Jesus is truly sent from a loving heavenly Father to come to pay for the forgiveness of your sins and mine and to show us a better way to live? Sadly, Herod never found out. I think one of the things that's a little bit bewildering is that you have two groups of prominent people, Herod and then the wise men. The wise men, to investigate this, who this Jesus is, to meet this Jesus, they packed their bags, went on camel, and scholars would say that they went likely thousands of miles to meet Jesus. Yet Herod was 5 miles away from meeting Jesus, the Savior of the world, 5 miles away and 5 miles short. One of my great concerns, and I'm going to guess, you know, even somebody here, is that maybe you've come to church, you've done the Christmas celebration, you've done the things, and you know a lot about Jesus, but you've not taken the time to move the knowledge to the heart. You've not taken the time to actually know Jesus, to examine his life, to see, is this Jesus really true? And if so, how would that impact my life? Today, as we are spending the last day of 2023, I can say I don't know what 2024 is going to entail for you or entail for all of us, but I'm wondering, as we are transitioning from the Christmas season to the new year, I want to go back to the question we asked earlier, is how are you and I going to respond to Jesus's birth? And as we step into 2024, as we look at 2024, the question I want us to wrestle with is, are we going to live more like the wise men, or are we going to live more like Herod? And no, I'm not saying that I'm worried about people murdering people. Let's just take that part out of the equation. But illustrating wise, I this is what I'm trying to say is this. Are we going to respond to Christmas as the greatest threat to our throne, or as the greatest gift to be known? Maybe you're here and you've not met Jesus. Maybe you've been coming for a while and you've got questions, or maybe you're brand new to church. And if so, we're just so grateful that you're here. My question is, as we walk into 2024, are you going to be like the wise men or Herod? the wise men who decided to take the time and the effort to make the sacrifice to really meet Jesus? Or are we going to spend 2024 like Herod and just view Jesus as a threat because I want to live life the way that I want to live it? I want to be the king of my own life. If you're here and you would like to be more like the wise men, maybe this is your star moment. Maybe this is the moment that you're feeling the tug to ask the hard questions. And if you're here and you do have questions and you're willing to put in the time and the work, I think one of the best ways that you can do this is by signing up for Alpha. Alpha really helps us to explore some of these big, hard questions. I think that this is good for everybody to attend, but especially for those of you that are really wrestling with what do I believe and why do I believe it. I would highly encourage, I think there's no better way to start 2024 than by going through Alpha together. Now, the next challenge that I have is those of you that are already followers of Jesus. This is going to be a challenging question and ask, but I want us to look at our own lives. And I want us to evaluate to say, is in 2024, am I going to respond to Jesus more like the wise men or more like King Herod? What do I mean? When it comes to worshiping him, am I just going to sing the lyrics? Or am I going to allow that time to be really a time to worship God? And the way that I live my life and the way that I operate my businesses, the way that I'm a husband or if you're a wife or if you're a parent, and the way that you conduct yourself in your friend groups, am I going to be one that worships God in the way that I live? Or I'm going to say, I'm going to live life in my own way. Am I going to live life with a reverence to who God is, understanding who I am in light of him? Am I going to live a life in generosity when it comes to my time and talents and treasure? Will I bow to him, or will I be more like Herod? And one of the questions that I've had to ask myself, and it's kind of a painful question to ask. And if you're a follower of a Jesus, I think a good question for us all to ask is, where am I still sitting on the throne? What areas of my life have I said, you know, Jesus, I want to follow you when it comes to all of these things, but when it comes to this area of my life, I'm still in charge. When it comes to the way that I date, I'm still in charge. When it comes to the way that I run my business and treat my employees, I'm still in charge. When it comes to certain relationships and dynamics that require forgiveness and restoration and healing, are we going to say, God, you're in charge, I'm going to follow your way? Or am I going to say, no, I'm still sitting on the throne when it comes to that thing? I think something that I need to do, something I think that all of us who are followers of Jesus need to do, is ask the question, where am I still sitting on the throne? Something I think that I know many of us have probably done in this room is we've said, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to follow you. But I think if we could narrow the focus, is what does it mean to fully follow Jesus for 2024? What I'm hoping to do in my own life is to learn how to better be a second chair leader. And what I mean by this is this: I don't have a throne. So let's just say this is the throne right here. And when I'm talking about the throne, what I'm saying is, like, who has the authority, overall authority in my life? Who am I worshiping? What am I bowing down to? And I think one of the greatest goals for me is I want to learn how to be a great second chair leader. I want to learn how to be a great second chair father and husband, a great second chair friend. And what does that mean? That means I want to do everything I can to make sure that God is really God of my life, that he sits on the throne, that I'm living for him, and I'm following his ways, not my own. I'm living for him, not for my way. And here's what I can tell you, and it feels so counterintuitive to how we are wired sometimes. The more that you allow God, the more that you allow Jesus to sit in the throne, the more I believe you will experience life to the full, the more that your life will be filled with joy and peace and purpose. But it takes a lot of saying to yourself, God, you're in charge. I'm sitting in the second chair. So my question for those of you that are already followers of Jesus is, when you look to 2024, what seat are you going to sit in? How are you going to respond to the birth of Jesus, to the Christmas story? Because how you and I respond is a reflection of what you and I really believe about Jesus. Is the way that we respond to Christmas, are we going to view it as the greatest threat to our throne or the greatest gift to be known? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for everybody who's here today. As we are closing out 2023, God, I believe that there are people in this room that are getting tugged. People that know maybe a lot about you but don't know you. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them as they seek you. And God, for those of us who are already following you, help in the most love, we noticed in your loving way, to show us the areas that we need to relinquish control to you, to be able to sit in the second chair, to be able to be the great leaders, whether CEOs of business or entrepreneurs or woodworkers or electricians or stay-home moms or stay-home dads, in whatever area that we have in our life, God, help us to be people that are great second chair leaders that first live for you, and out of that, God, help us to be great at leading others, including ourselves. God, I ask that you would bless everyone here in their 2024 as we strive to live closer to you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m.